Hey, great to see you guys this morning. I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited to bring the Word of God to you. I'm so excited to preach the Word and to teach the Word and to see you guys learn and grow. Oh my goodness, do I miss you? I miss you. Looking forward to getting through this quarantine era. Looking forward to getting over all the limitations here. We're going to open up church. We're going to open up our society. We're going to get back to work. We're going to get back to the mission of God's church in a unique way. Listen, this is an exciting time for us to trust God. And fortunately, here in the Central Coast, we have not seen the massive outbreak as there are in other places. So we want to be sensitive to that. But we want to really reopen our society here locally as soon as possible. I believe God's got a good word for you today. I believe, so you want to go in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5 as we talk about seeing God and having a pure heart. But before that, I just want to share a few thoughts. This week, what a fascinating week it was. This was a fascinating week. And this week, we got a chance to see some momentum in our food distribution ministry. Some time ago, my wife and I were having a meal together at our home, and it began to occur to us, who else doesn't have what we have? Maybe our neighbors cannot get around, or maybe they don't have a meal. Maybe there's other people on our street. Maybe there's other really good working class people who don't qualify for some government services or just too in shock, really, because they're not working and they realize that they can't know how to help themselves. And so anyway, it was just all of that. We're just trying to figure it out. And so my wife, much more so than myself, let me tell you, began to take this mantle up, began to seek to see what we could do. And we just tried to help one other family, really tried to just take one small step. Well, that led, and God led her to collaborate with others in our community. And all of a sudden we had access to some resources, at least for a short time that we didn't. And all of a sudden we're taking care of a few dozen and a few dozen more and a few dozen more. Well, that has gotten quite large to this last week. We were able to give to 400, 500, or 600. I don't know the number, the final tally, but those are real numbers of perspective. It was at least 400 or more families. Not just individuals, families, 400 or more families, we were able to give the freshest of the fresh groceries. Everybody got 2 pounds of fresh ground beef and all the other things that they need to make it for a week as a family. And so anyway, that has really picked up steam. And we're now meeting with city officials. We're collaborating with other groups and other faith groups in town. And we're happy to do so. And we're glad to find so many friends on the journey. Listen, this is a good story where people are really coming together and working together. And we're loving on people and telling people about Jesus. And so what happened was the news showed up. And so I don't know if you got a chance to see on KCOY. KCOY showed up, Channel 12 for us who are local in the Central Coast. And so they showed up and actually put my wife, normally wouldn't want to be behind camera. They put her on camera to talk. And I was really proud of her for that. I think I had a few couple comments to say and share. But listen, God is doing something. He is doing something great. In this dark moment of life, there is a bright light that's shining. And God will receive glory, and He will raise you up, and He will raise His people up, and He will mobilize an army to reach out to other people to bring love and help to them, and you're part of that solution. And so I'm very excited to be with you today. I know these are tough times. I'm not turning a blind eye to that or a deaf ear. I know these are difficult times, and I feel the anxiety that so many people feel even over a meal. But we are going to get through this together, and God is going to be glorified. That I'm confident. Listen, my friends, as you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, let's pray. Let's pray and turn our focus to Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh new way. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come to you now asking that you would be glorified and speak in this very moment with tremendous power upon us. God, for we are your people, you are our God, and we come to you with our arms and our hands open wide, ready to be instructed and to receive all that you have. Come, Jesus, now we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Can you say it with me? Amen, there we go. Okay, so listen, when we read a verse like this, and let me read it to you right now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So when people read that verse, and I've read that verse to so many people, their heart sinks oftentimes. Oftentimes they just, you know, look at that and they go, I can't. And they don't even finish the sentence. They just walk away. Listen, don't walk away. I want you to tune in. I got great news for you of what this means. But let me use my dog as a great illustration of how we need to not react. Listen, I love my dog, Lily. I've put her before people with some slides and let you see her. She's a purebred English lab. And I love my dog, but my dog's aging. And as she ages, she's really getting richer and richer in personality. Nobody shows dog shame better than Lily. I mean, Lily can show you shame. She could be across the yard and I'll call her name. I'll say, Lily. And then how she looks at me will tell me everything she's been doing. Everything she's been doing. She will hang her head in shame. And if she's in the house and she's not supposed to be doing something, then I'll say, Lily. And if she's not supposed to be doing what she was currently doing, she will hang her head in shame. And I'm not even yelling at her. I'm just trying to get her attention and find out what she's doing. And then all of a sudden she goes her corner and pouts. It's a little classic. Well, I think we do some of that sometimes in the Bible when we read verses like this. We read verses like this and somehow we have this pouting nature where all of a sudden we retreat because we think God is not for us and we think we can't measure up, as if you could ever measure up to the standards of the Bible. It is only God's grace, the saving power of the cross, that brings this sufficiency for us even to love God and follow Him. And so when Jesus Himself was teaching this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He knew your inadequacy. He knew your brokenness. He knew all the pain inside you. And He's speaking this as something that He will do inside you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, of course, we need to talk about what it's not. So as we talk about this, here's what you need to understand. Matthew chapter 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is not about morality. It's not about your morals. It's not about your moral behavior. It's not about your personal performance. Jesus is not addressing that here. He's addressing some other things that I will tell you. He's addressing about how to see God. I'm going to give you right now, very, very quickly, I'm going to give you an exercise that I want you to practice this week. This week, some good friends came into my office and reminded me of a turning point conversation we had, somewhat related to exactly what we're talking about, how to see God, over a spiritual exercise that works every time. And so let me give it to you. This is what I want you to do to be able to see God. This is what I want you to be able to do to move your heart in a pure and pure fashion. Listen, what I want you to do is I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to go somewhere where you can be alone for a while. And I want you to open one of the Psalms, Psalm 32, Psalm 27, Psalm 23, if it's helpful to you. But open up one of the Psalms. And I want you to read the psalm. And then I want you to take some note, and I want you to answer this question before God. I want you to observe what God is going to do. I want you to write this down. I want you to ask God, what do you think of me? That's the question. God, what do you think of me? God, I'm here. God, what do you think of me? I'm opening your word. What do you think of me? And I want you to stay quiet. I want you to observe the movement of the Holy Spirit in your heart and soul. I want you to see how he's gonna tenderize you and how God is gonna come and grip you. And I want you to ask God this question, God, what do you think of me? But I want you to do it based on His word, and I want you to read a psalm. And then I want you to write that down in some sort of journal. Just write down some of your initial thoughts. I want you to observe the environment around you and what God is showing you. And then secondly, I want you to write this down. And I would do the second question I want you to ask. I want you to ask a question. How has the devil been lying to me? Ask God that question. So you're going to ask God the question, God, what do you think of me? And then you're going to ask God the question, how has the devil been lying to me? That's the question. When you stay with those questions, you begin to move yourself to where you're in the very place that Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we talk about purity here, here's what purity is. Purity actually is a word that means no contaminants. That's what purity means. And it's referenced in Revelation chapter 22 when the river of life is mentioned in Revelation. And some translations, like this one I favor in the ESV, uses the word brightness. But I don't think that word's strong enough, actually. The King James and New King James is better. It actually talks about a pure river. It uses the word purity. There's no contaminants. There's no contaminants in that place. And so that is actually what this word means. It means that it's so pure that there's a brightness actually to it. It has no contaminants. That's what God's doing in your heart. God is moving your heart more and more so that it will actually have no contaminants inside of it. And God's going to use some tools. He's got some tools that he's going to use. He's going to use cleansing, which is where we get saved and give ourselves to Jesus. And he uses the cleansing of the word to wash, as Jesus would say when he's talking to the Pharisees, the inside of the cup. And then sometimes he's going to come by fire. Some very intense moments in life are going to come upon us where that purifying fire is going to come and is going to burn some of the things off of our lives that need to be burned off. Oftentimes, it's not just sin. Oftentimes, it's actually immaturity, where God will actually burn off of you immaturity. And that's a beautiful thing, and there's great fruit that will come from that. Sometimes there's pruning, and pruning has to do with cutting off something that is actually dead. And it actually has to do, pruning has to do with something that has fallen over, that is weak but still alive, and then tying it back up on the stalk so that life can come back. These are the things that God is doing to you with purity. If something is dead inside you that just needs to be cut off, God will cut it off. If something has been fallen down but needs to be brought back to life, he will tie it back up, that wounded limb, and let life flow come to you. These are the things that God is doing with purity. Now listen, the pure in heart, what we're talking about in terms of the Bible uses the idea of a pure heart to really instruct us that this is the deepest and most truest things inside of us. These are the things that are true deep inside us, what relates to our soul and our spirit, our mind. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says we are to love the Lord God. And then it's all the description of the heart, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. And Jesus himself would reference that again as he'd go throughout his earthly ministry. We are told in Scripture to guard our hearts. So you want to be guarding your heart. You want to know the Word of God. You want to open the Word of God. You want to know these things because you want to actually guard your heart. Your heart can actually break. You want to protect your heart, and God wants to protect your heart. So blessed are those who are pure in heart. They have this lack of contaminants in them because God is doing this work. The very truest things about them, God is at work at and doing this miracle. And now they shall actually see God. I want to talk about seeing God. Probably one way to sort of understand this is to sort of relate to your prayer life and make sure that we're talking about God and not a figment of your imagination, not addressing God as if he's some sort of chew toy and that you can actually manipulate God. He's God. He's the sovereign God. He's the king over the universe. By the word of his power, he authored all the laws of physics, yet he loves you. Even though he's pure, even though he's holy, he loves you. He is loving you right now through his word. He's calling you into a deeper relationship with him. And so we want to be addressing God as God, not as a figment of our imagination. So listen, what you will see, though, is so fascinating. For when we talk about here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm going to walk you through a list here of the things that you shall see. I believe you're going to love this list. So first thing that you're going to see is that you will see his glory. I'll reference 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the baptism of fire at the temple. And this is Solomon's day. And this wasn't really God's idea. The temple was not necessarily God's idea. David desired it. Solomon built it. And so God gave some real stern boundaries. When you read that, that's why those boundaries are there. This wasn't necessarily God's idea. He says earlier, he goes, I don't need that house to live in. I'm way beyond that. But if you will obey me, he's speaking in the Old Testament, well, then I will visit. And so Solomon makes that agreement with God. And there's a sacrifice there. And there's absolutely nothing to light it. Whoom, out of heaven, it gets lit. The sacrifice is lit and it's consumed instantly. A great picture of God's glory. And so you want to say, okay, well, if I'm allowed here, God, to come to you and you can purify my heart, you can save my heart, and you can move me in a new way, what will I see when I see you? You'll see God's glory. You'll see God's glory in a whole and new way. Second thing that you'll see is you'll see what I'm going to call enthusiasm. You will see God's enthusiasm. And right now, in just a few moments, there's going to be a video that's going to roll. And I love this video. It came across my Twitter feed, actually. And I love this thing. What it is, it's a father playing baseball with his son. And as you watch this very short video, I want you to take note of the behavior of the father. I want you to see the behavior of the father as he's pitching to his son. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a great typology on how God is working and how he wants you to see him. And so did you see that? Did you see the father? Did you see him jumping up and down? Did you see him just cheering for his son who just connected with that ball? By the way, that kid's got a nice swing. And he sent that ball all the way and he touched all the bases and there was nobody there. This is not a game. It's just a father and a son enjoying love together. And that is how God is with you. When you see God with his pure heart, as you let the cross work its work in your life, you begin to see in the most powerful way God's enthusiasm for life, God's enthusiasm for his glory, and God's enthusiasm even for you. Okay, third, now as we move quickly, what you will see is you will see his grace. And I could use many illustrations for this, but I'm going to go with Queen Esther. When we talk about God's grace, we can really talk about Queen Esther. So Esther goes, and she's basically participating in the Bachelor show. So it's kind of weird that our culture sort of actually currently, for 20 years, has now had a version of what Xerxes went through. Xerxes, the king of Persia, got rid of his first wife and decided that he would take another wife, and he made himself the bachelor. And it was really like that. It's almost like the Bachelor show. Well, Esther wins that. And I have to tell you, I love the story of Queen Esther. I love Esther. But I'm telling you, she was not the most moral person as she was going through that experience when you read the text. Now she's leaving a life of comfort. Now she's so far removed from the tragedies of her past. And now all of a sudden, God calls her out to be brave. The phrase in Esther is for such a time as this. Can she actually be brave for such a time as this? And there's this grace that comes upon her. And she knows that she could pay the price with her own life for sticking up in a Persian context. And she's actually not the Persian queen, it's going to be found out. She's the Jewish queen in a Persian court. That is not going to go over very well. And she puts her entire life on the line to save her people. Awesome, awesome picture. Wonderful picture of God's grace. Okay, next, what will you see? You'll see God's favor. You'll actually see God's favor. And what a great story in Noah. And God favors Noah, he favors Noah's family, and he chooses to save them from the great flood. And God is right now favoring you to save you from great floods. And so you'll see God's favor. This is one of the most beautiful things to be able to pray. To be able to say, God, let me walk in your favor. Let me soak in your favor. Let me worship in your favor. Let me be your true son. One of my daily prayers for myself, just to be transparent with you, I daily approach God and I say, God, I want you to be my true, true father. And I want to be your true, true son. Be my true father. Let me be your true son. I approach God like that and I see beautiful things happen related to favor. Next, fifth, you will see his face. So what will you see? You'll see his face. You'll actually see some sort of formation. And by face, we're talking about this intimacy, this closeness, this nearness with God. Moses was put in the cleft of a rock so that God's glory would pass by, so that his face would pass by, so that his goodness would pass by. And that will happen to you. You'll be placed in these intimate, close, near moments with God. And you will know this nearness of God, my Savior. And then last, as we talk about a long, long list, I'm only going through six right here, you will see his goodness. you will see his goodness. And I can think of no other greater story from the Old Testament than to talk about Joseph, where Joseph was just a boy. He's thrown into slavery by his brothers. He's thrown into the dungeon. This is a man who's really right on every single time. And yet every single time over decades, things set him back. Things set him back. We're talking over decades. And now at the very end of his story, there's a complete reconciliation. And his brothers are still afraid. His brothers think that Joseph, now that you're the top god and the prime minister, are going to kill him. And he has this wonderful phrase that's quoted in scripture. What others meant for evil, God meant for good. What you, my brothers, meant for evil, God meant for good. In other words, people can do bad things to us, but God will overcome that and twist it into paradox and bring something dynamically good out of it. I'm mindful as I'm meditating on Peter here that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter has this phrase, he says, and he's mentioning those that you're saved. You can understand salvation when you can see God's goodness. He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so the idea of God's goodness is actually so much of how we understand him. And so blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. My friends, you have to believe that. You have to believe that God is capable of doing that work in your life. You have to receive it. You have to receive the work of the cross in your life. You have to agree. You know what agree makes? Let me just illustrate it this way. My wife some time ago came to me and said a very fascinating and pointed comment that got my attention. In fact, I didn't really believe her at first, to be honest. But she said, Rick, do you ever realize that you pretty much never say, I'm right? This is my wife speaking to me. I go, what are you talking about? My wife's a very lovely and intelligent person. And I'm glad to have her in my life. And our journey has been wonderful. For her to say that to me, I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I began to notice that actually, I don't verbally say that to her. I don't verbally say very easily or very often, you know what, Jane, you're right. You know what, you're right. And so I began to pray about that and ask God to help me in those right moments in life through small things. It's not great conflicts or anything, but just in some really important moments to simply say to her, Jane, you know what? You're right. Oddly enough, I began to realize that that was a challenge for me initially. And as I began to verbalize that, my heart began to change. My heart began to change. And so you have to believe, you have to receive, and you have to agree with God. When you agree with God and say, God, you're right, your heart begins to change. You need to pray. I need to pray right now. And you need to make your confession of faith public. You need to make it public. And so right now, I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to ask you to pray with me and make all of these things active in your life, okay? So let's pray. Pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I pray over my friends, and I pray, God, that you would do great and powerful things in their lives. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Be my God. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Save me this day. Move inside me this day. Do great things in me this day. Be my true Father. Let me be your true son or daughter. In Jesus' name. Can you say it with me? Amen. Amen. I am so proud of you. I'm so absolutely, wonderfully, wonderfully proud. Listen, if we were at church in a more everyday context, right now I would invite you to a prayer team. We would pray over you. We'd give you a Bible. We'd do other things for you. Right now, what I want to offer to you is a kind of a class, a free class, on my website called simplebiblecommentary.com. And it's called Focus on Jesus. People are taking that. I'm getting really good feedback from that. And so listen, go to simplebiblecommentary.com. It'll say free course. Just click on that button and you'll get yourself going and taking a free course that'll help you take a few next steps. I love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And God is doing great things in your life.